It's a celebratory day, amen? This is not some not a holiday marked on a calendar. Loved one, this is the greatest event in the history of mankind, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, 2,000 years ago, amen? We know the tomb is empty. Our faith is not in an empty tomb. Our faith is in the one who walked out of that tomb and who is alive forevermore, amen? So when we think about it, think about the past, last Sunday, the triumphal entry of Christ, the day that Jesus, our Lord, he planned it. He knew exactly what to do. He entered into the exact city on the exact animal to the exact people at the on the exact day. And it was only one person that could do that. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That Good Friday, I'm sorry, the triumphal entry will never be repeated. Never. And then never will be repeated will be Good Friday. The violence, the horrible violence of that day. You know, Jesus said something from the cross. He said, "It is finished." And loved one, it has been finished for 2,000 years. Amen. What do I mean by that? I mean that death, hell, the grave, the devil, man, listen, the power of sin, the consequences of sin, they have been stripped of their power by one man walking out of one tomb on the third day. Amen? And listen, it is over. It is finished. And how did all that happen? The Bible says, according to the Scriptures. Say that with me. According to the Scriptures. Turn in your Bibles this morning. We're going to be turning a lot, okay? Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. You know, when we think about Resurrection Sunday, do you know, no matter the religions of the world, the religions of the world way in the past or even today, or if any new religions come about in the world that we live in, there is no religion in the history of mankind that would even dare make the confession that their founder of that religion is alive. They're dead and they're in the grave. There's only one that walked out of the tomb, amen? And he is alive forevermore and is Jesus Christ our Lord. And here's what's wonderful. He is the founder of Christianity, because Christianity is Christ, and the founder lives, say that word, lives. The founder, Jesus, he lives in his followers. Amen? Christ in us, the hope of glory, beginning in verse 1 now of Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Now, on the first day of the week, now that's Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, on the very first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. So if we just went up one verse into chapter 23 at the very end, we could read there where it said, I better turn to Luke's gospel, amen? And where it says, what did it say there? It says, and the women, in verse 55, and the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So on the first day of the week here in Luke 24:1, that it says they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. So they had to wait for the Sabbath, and now they are returning. It's a wonderful thing, ladies, I talk to you now. It's a wonderful thing to see the faithful women of the Bible. Amen? Oh, were they faithful to the Lord. They loved him. They followed him. Down in verse 10, it gives us the name of the ladies that were there, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. So now they have come to do something. They have come to finish the anointing that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had started. So they're coming to finish that process, okay? But they're not looking for the risen Savior, for they believe him dead. Now look at verse 2. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Do we remember how that happened? Remember what the Sanhedrin did, the chief priests and so forth? How they had gone to Pilate and they begged him to put a seal upon the tomb, the stone, and set two guards or many guards around the tomb that no one could come in and maybe steal the body of Jesus or whatnot. And so it says in Matthew 28:2, it says this, and an angel from heaven descended, rolled back the stone from the entry and sat on it. Now that, to me, I don't know how you feel about that, but to me, that I want to laugh every time I read that scripture. I mean, the angel said, I need a break. I rolled away the stone. I'm going to sit down for a while. And you know what happened? Whenever that happened and he sat down, remember the soldiers that were at the tomb? They fell down like dead men. Meaning they simply passed out. They were scared to death. The stone was rolled away. Loved one, listen, not to let Jesus out. We know why it was rolled away. It was to let the women in. Amen? And look at verse 3. And then they, meaning the women, they went in. And they did not find the body of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus. So they fully expected, every one of the women, they expected to find the literal, physical body of the Lord. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this. And behold, two men, and we know from verse 23, the two men are angels. These two angels, it says, stood by them in shining garments. And then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they, meaning the angels, this is the Easter message they delivered, they said to them, why do you seek the living, or literally the living one, among the dead? See, they did not believe that Jesus was alive. They believed Jesus was dead. And the angel says, why would you come to a cemetery? Why would you come to the place where everyone is dead, to seek, to find hope? And then the angel tells him why. Look at the next verse. He says, listen, he's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man, what's that next word? All of us, must. The Son of Man, that means a divine necessity. It has to happen. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And look what happened. They remembered Jesus' words. You know, one of the main reasons today for Christians to be defeated in this life is they don't remember the Word of God. They neglect the Word of God. Don't do that. Amen? But listen carefully now. I don't believe for one minute that Mary Magdalene, whom he had cast out seven demons, remember the Lord had done that for her. I don't believe that any of the women had forgotten Jesus' resurrection promises. I don't believe that at all. But what I do believe, they believed that Jesus' promises now will never be fulfilled, that those promises are dead because Jesus is dead. That's what they believe. And so they saw failure in the cross. That's what the world sees. Why? The cross, why? Well, they saw failure in the cross, not victory. Listen to me. The ladies that came to the tomb, do you believe that they lost their love for Jesus? No. Do you believe that they still believe Jesus to be Savior? Yes. But you know what happened to them? They lost their hope. Their hope was crushed because they believed Jesus dead. And then it says in verse 9, and then they, the ladies, they returned from the tomb and they told all these things to the 11, meaning the apostles, and to all the rest. So there were others there with them. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and other women with them who told these things to the what? The apostles, the ones Jesus chose. And their words seemed to the apostles like idle tales. That word means pure nonsense, okay? Matter of fact, that word right there is only found here in the New Testament. And it means like someone who is suffering from hysteria. They're running a high fever and they're hallucinating. And so it says, their words seem like idle tales. And look what happened. They, the apostles, they did not believe them. So the first people not to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ wasn't the world. It was his own people, the apostles, that Jesus had chosen. But Peter arose, he ran to the tomb, and stooping down, it says he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself of what had happened. If you went to John's gospel, we find over there that they found, it says, they found the linen cloths lying there, and I love this, and the handkerchief, that's the face cloth that they put upon the Lord, that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place all by itself. What a strange thing to see. You know, remember how they made up a story, the religious bunch, that the body was stolen by robbers. They came in and stole the body of Jesus. I have never met a tidy robber. Whenever my wife and I, we were robbed at our home, listen, they ransacked the stuff, the cars, the garage, all the, they didn't leave anything neat. No. So can you imagine a robber going, oh, let me take this cloth right here. We've got the body. Let me fold it nice and place it over here. No. No. But what's amazing is there in that empty tomb, the resurrected Lord had just literally gone right through the linen cloths. He himself folded the face thing and placed it over to the side. Now, with all that being said, we're going to turn a lot this morning. I pray that your heart and your ears are open. Let us go back to verse 7 on this Resurrection Sunday. Let's go back to the women, the angels speaking to them, and look carefully again. The angels told them, the Son of Man, that's Jesus. That was Jesus' favorite title, by the way, for himself. The Son of Man must, that means a divine necessity, he has to do this. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Go to verse 22 of Luke 24. So now Jesus, this is Resurrection Sunday. It's during the morning. He's already resurrected. And Jesus now is going to talk with two sad disciples. And they're hopeless in their hearts. They're leaving Jerusalem because they believe Jesus has failed. He's dead. And so they're on the Emmaus Road. They're going to be speaking with the risen Savior, but they don't know it's the risen Savior, okay? And it says, yes, and certain women of our company, they're talking to Jesus, but they don't know it's Jesus, who arrived at the tomb early, astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And then look what Jesus says, the resurrected Savior. Then he said to them, oh man, I feel sorry for you. I totally understand. Times been tough. Is that what he said? No, look what he said. Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in, look at this, all that the prophets have spoken, meaning all of the scriptures. Listen to me, loved one. Did you notice what Jesus, the resurrected Savior, said to those who loved him, but they didn't know it was Jesus? He did not say, not slow of mind. He said, slow of heart. Why? Because it's not with, when it comes to God, when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to the Word of God, it's not with the head that you believe, is it? No, it's with the heart that man believes, loved one. And listen, are you slow of heart to believe God's promises? Well, here's what Jesus said about the Word of God. He says the entirety of the Word of God is true. John 17, 17, Jesus said this, thy Word, O God, is truth, meaning perfect truth, living truth. The Word of God is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is powerful. Amen? Boy, and it penetrates when it's heard and believed in the heart. It comes alive in you. And it says, now go to verse 32. So as Jesus was talking to them, these two disciples, they said this. They said one to another, did not our mind burn within us? No, their heart. Did not our heart burn within us as Jesus talked with us? They didn't know it was Jesus on the road. Now, what caused their hearts to burn? Was it the voice of the resurrected Savior? Well, he is the Word. But look what caused their heart to burn. While Jesus opened the scriptures, it says, to us. My heart breaks for those that are maybe listening on the radio right now, that are listening live all around the world, those, and may even be sitting here in the chapel or in the overflow areas. My heart breaks today. Maybe if you hear the truth of God, you hear his truth, you hear the truth about the resurrection, but you do so with cold hearts. And a cold heart doesn't receive the things of God, loved one. No, God wants your heart to burn, be alive with the truth of God's word. And then he says in verse 26, look what Jesus says to them. Because they're talking about that, how Jesus was a prophet. He was mighty indeed and all of that. But you know, he's dead. And so look what Jesus says to them in verse 26. Another word, another divine must. He uses the word ought. Ought not the Christ, meaning the Messiah, should have suffered these things, meaning the events of Good Friday, all the hell that he went through, and then the crucifixion, have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Now look what he did. Jesus, at the beginning at Moses, and how many of the prophets? That means major prophets, minor prophets, all of the prophets in the old covenant, he expounded or he explained clearly to them how many of the scriptures? All the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Boy, how the Lord loves us. Can you imagine there's these two hopeless disciples. They believe Jesus is dead. They're on the road to Emmaus, going home, and now the resurrected, risen Savior who loves all of us, he comes up alongside of these guys, you know, and they don't know who he is. They don't recognize him. And they come up, and he starts talking to them and explaining their problem. And, you know, the problem was this. Their failure to know and believe Bible prophecy, meaning all that God had spoken in his word. Everything God says in his word is true. Amen? So if you see that little word that I just said a moment ago, the word all? Boy, that is so important. That's critical. All the scriptures, can you imagine what a Bible study that was? All the scriptures he went through concerning himself. Whenever the Pharisees came to Jesus in John 5:39, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But Jesus said, oh no, the scriptures, all the scriptures, they pertain to me. Oh, what a word that is. Listen, so Jesus told the disciples this, and they're walking and it's getting late, and now they approach their home. It's dark. And they say, oh, Lord, they constrained him and come in. And they didn't know it was the Lord, but okay. And come in and eat with us. It's getting dark. It's getting late. Just come in and abide with us. And so Jesus comes in and he sits down at the table. And remember what he does. The scripture tells us he breaks bread. And it says, and then he vanished out of their sight. And then they recognize as he broke the bread, I don't know if they recognize the nail prints of his hand or that they had celebrated the breaking of the bread with the Lord's Supper. I don't know. But I do know this. Their eyes were completely opened and they knew it was Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord. And then he vanished out of their sight. And what did these two disciples with hearts burning and on fire, what did they do? They just left Jerusalem. Now it's late at night. They're going to go all the way back to Jerusalem and they're going to find the 11 disciples or the 11 apostles and tell them how Jesus appeared to them. Go to verse 35. And they told all the apostles that were there, they told them about the things that had happened on the road and how Jesus was known to them in the breaking of bread. And now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, appeared supernaturally. Boy, he could do that right now, right? Do you know that? No, he could do that right now. See, there's nothing impossible to God. Yeah. And he said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified. And if he appeared to us, we'd be terrified too. They were terrified, frightened, and supposed they'd seen a spirit or a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your minds? It's not with the mind. It's always with the heart, isn't it? From the abundance of the heart, your heart, my heart, the mouth speaks. The things that come out of our mouth, it's not what comes into our mouth that defileth a man. It's what cometh out of a man that defiles him. Amen? Renders a person unclean. Everything is about our hearts, loved one. So he said, why do doubts arise in your heart? Behold, or look, my hands, my feet, that it is I, myself, I, the Lord, your Savior. Handle me, you know, touch me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed them what? His hands and his feet. Jesus could have done anything to prove who he was. He could have created a whole new world. He could have stopped the sun from shining. But he knew there was one thing that they would believe. He showed them the piercings in his hand. He said, and then he went on and said, do you have any food? Here, give me something to eat. He'd do anything to prove to them who he was. Listen, those nail prints are still in the hands right now in heaven of Jesus' glorified body. Amen? They're still there. Now go to verse 44 in Luke. Luke 24:44. And Jesus said to them, these are the words which I spake to you while I was still with you. That's very important. So he goes past to the present. So this is the historical Jesus from the past is now the risen Savior in the present. The same person, loved one. He says, and while I was still with you, that all things what? Must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, meaning the first five books of Moses. Not only the first five books of Moses, watch this now, and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And look what Jesus did. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend what? The scriptures, loved one, the word of God. And then he said to them, thus it is written, and it is necessary. There's that word, a divine must again. It was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. The heart is so important. For, you know, the heart must believe before the mind can truly understand. Did you know that? You know, we'll never understand the scriptures up here until it's first in here. Does that make sense? People come to me, you know, I've read the Bible, I don't get it. I said, well, do you know the Lord? No, I don't really know the Lord. I'm just trying to, I don't know, I'm reading the Bible. I don't understand it. Of course you don't understand it. And I always take them to 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man does not discern the things of the Spirit. It is impossible. He can't welcome the things of the Spirit. He can't welcome the things of the Spirit into his heart. Why? You have to be born above. You have to be born again, and that's when you can understand it. Now listen, what did Jesus just say? Please listen carefully. Jesus just said in the verse I just read this, that Jesus was crucified on a real cross in real time in a real city that still exists. Amen? Amen. And not only that, he shed real blood because it was a real death. He was placed in a real tomb. And then on the third day, he rose from the dead. Listen, he rose from the dead in a real, physical, glorified body that would never, no, never, no, never die. Amen? That's what the Word of God says. Now listen carefully. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 with me. 1 Corinthians verse 1. Moreover, brethren, Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which I also was saved, or you're saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. In other words, you didn't really hold it into your heart. And then he says, in verse 3, he tells us, why did Jesus die? Why did he go through all that he went through? Watch this. For I delivered to you first of all, in other words, number one priority here, the most important thing, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. Paul did not invent the epistles that he wrote. Paul didn't invent the good news of the gospel. He received it from the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So he says, I deliver first of y'all that which I received, watch this now, that Christ died for our sins. And what's the next words? According to the scriptures. Say that. According to the scriptures. What does that mean? It means that Jesus' death on the cross was not a tragedy. It wasn't just an accidental death. No, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Amen? This was God decreed. This was the plan of God. So out of all the revelation given to Paul when he's penning 1 Corinthians, what did Jesus tell him that I want my people to know? He says that Christ, that he died for our sins. There was a real death, and the reason was not his sins, he is sinless, but for our sins. You know, if you don't believe that you're a sinner, you're not going to understand the Bible. But we're all sinners. There's not one that doeth good. No, not one. Amen? And we can just prove it by one thing. Anyone in here never lied? Stand back if you say yes. Far back. No, we're all sinners, loved ones, saved by grace. Now listen, but the problem is so many people are slow of heart to believe. And so, listen, sin, the penalty of sin demands justice, but God's justice. Remember what it says in Romans 6:23. It says that the wages of sin is, that's eternal separation from God forever. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so Jesus willingly went to the cross and suffered a real death and really was raised again. And he did it all for you and me. He is our substitutionary sacrifice for sin. God paid our sin debt through his Son. Why? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. 1 John 3:5. And we know that he was manifested to take away sin, and in him there is no sin. Romans 5:8. It says, for God proves, that word means or demonstrates, that word means proves, for God proves his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he did so according to the scriptures. Now look at verse 3 again. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again on the second day, right? Third day. How did he do it? It says, say it with me, according to the scripture. You can speak in church, it's okay. You can be resurrected, though. Okay? Yes, according to the scriptures. Now listen carefully. Jesus died according to the scriptures. He was buried on the third day according to the scriptures. Now I'm going to ask you a question. On this resurrection Sunday, as your hearts are open, okay, ready to believe something, the Word of God, why did God give mankind, give every believer, every church, so many supernatural facts, so many truths about Jesus? It says, well, it said there, according to the Scriptures. So if it was according to the Scripture, then why was man so cruel to the Lord? Why were the people, he came to his own and his own even, they didn't receive him at all. Why did the Roman soldiers, why did they have to go and strip his back naked, meaning the scourging. Remember the Roman scourge, the leather straps full of lead and glass and bone. And whenever it hit a man, it would rip their flesh from their body. And as they were doing that to Jesus, he spoke not a word. He remained silent. Why? Because the Bible said he would. And not only that, I mean, why did the Roman soldiers, why did they pluck out his beard? Why did they do that? Why did they put a sack on his face or whatever it was and beat him unmercifully? That, not just one soldier. There were 600 soldiers in the room that had arrested him. And they would hit him in the face as hard as they could. And they would say, if you be the Son of God, prophesy to us. You know, who smote you or who hit you? He said not a word. Why did they do that? Why did they rip his beard out of his face? Why did they spit upon the Savior of the world? Why did they do that? I want you to listen to me now. It was because it was according to the Scriptures. Are you with me? It was according to the Scriptures, loved one, written 1,000 years before the cross. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah the prophet in chapter 50, verse 6. It's about the Messiah. And it says, it's personal. I gave my back to those who struck me. That's the scourging. He says, I gave my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. He says, and I did not hide my face from shame in their spitting. Loved one, that was according to the Scriptures. I'm going to ask you another question. Why? You ever ask yourself, why was Jesus Christ crucified between two thieves or two robbers? Why? Well, the Bible tells us in Isaiah. And why did they drive nails in Jesus' feet and into his hands on the cross? Why did they do that? And why, loved one, did they gamble for his garments? Think about that for a moment. Well, I can tell you why, because 1,000 years before it ever happened, the Messianic Psalm, which is Psalm 22, which tells about Jesus, the Messiah, on the cross and what he saw, what he felt, what he went through. Listen to what it says in Psalm 22, 16. For dogs have surrounded me. That's the Roman soldiers. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. That's the high priest and the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Sanhedrin. They have pierced my hands and my feet. And Jesus, or the Messiah, I count all my bones. In other words, he could see. He could count them because the lictor's lash had ripped away his flesh. He says, oh, they look and they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and my clothing they cast lots of, they gamble. You know, they took everything from Jesus on the cross. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Bible tells us about his garment. It was seamless. It was sewn from the bottom to the top, seamless. But they didn't gamble for that. The Roman soldiers cut that into four parts and gave it to each other. But the rest of his garments, they roll the dice, they cast dice for our loved one. Listen, and they did all that because God, who knows everything before it ever happens, he said, this is what they're going to do to my son for you and for me. That's what Resurrection Sunday, loved one, is all about. Peter Stoner, the celebrated mathematician, said this. He took just 8 prophecies, and listen to what he said. Prophecies from the Bible, just 8. He says, the first one, that the Messiah would be betrayed by a friend. Not just anyone. Who betrayed Jesus? But it was prophesied long before it ever happened. And also, he would take 30 pieces of silver, not 20 pieces of silver, not 10 pieces of silver, 20 pieces of silver, not gold, silver. Zechariah's prophecy. And then what would they do with the 30 pieces of silver? They had to be cast on the floor, not any floor, but only one floor, and it had to be the floor of the temple only in Jerusalem. And the money that was cast on the floor in the temple at Jerusalem, and Judas did that, he threw it at them. Then what did the high priest and all of them say? It had to be spent on to be purchasing a potter's field. Loved one, listen to me. the chances of any one man fulfilling just those eight prophecies is 10 to the 17th power. That's 17 zeros. It's impossible, yet it's, but it happened. In other words, they all came true in just one man, and that man is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen, our Lord and our Savior. So you say, Bill, now what does that mean? You ready for this? It means that every word of God is true. Do you understand? It's according to the scriptures. It goes back thousands of years. Every word of God is true. The resurrection really did happen because God's word said it would happen and how it would happen and the very day it would happen. So what does this mean? Loved one, I won't tell you what it means. It means that God really did create the earth. You know, right now we have astronauts on the way to the moon. And you know what? That moon just didn't happen. God created the moon that they're going to. Do you understand? He's our Savior. All of that. It means this. Noah really did build an ark. There really was a flood. And there really was a whale that swallowed Jonah. Do you understand? Listen, it's because according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures, every word of God is true. You know, how about this? God chose you. If you're in Christ, God chose you in Him, in Jesus. When? Before the foundation of this world, before the world was ever created, when there was no one but God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit. Listen, He chose you. You're not a mistake. You have a purpose. You have a meaning. You were supposed to be born. Amen? Not only that, how about this one? According to the scriptures, God has blessed you in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Every blessing belongs to you because you are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about that. Not only that, how about according to the scriptures? The Bible says that you were created for good works in Christ Jesus before time began. Before time began, God says, I have a plan for you. I have a mission for you. I created you for a purpose. I gifted you for a purpose. I knew your name. I knew your color. I know everything about you. And He sees everything about you right now. Amen. And He loves you and He died for you because we could not pay our sin. Everything is true because of, according to the scriptures, when you came to Christ, when I came to Christ, all of our sin debt, everything we had ever done, will do. We don't want to sin. Jesus paid it all. Not a portion. He paid it all. He erased our sin. And not only that, God says this, I will then no longer remember their sins. Oh, He knows we've sinned. But what that means is, God says, if you come to me, come to my Son, those things, since there's no condemnation, the sins that we've committed that God has forgiven us for, He says, I will never hold them against you. I'll never remember them again because Jesus, my Son, paid for them. I punished Him instead of punishing you. Think about that. That's what all of this means. But loved one, it means this too. According to the scriptures, means this world really is passing away. But he who doeth the will of God abideth forever. It means that there really is a hell. There really is a heaven, loved one. And it also means in Adam, if you're in the Adam's family, all die. But in Christ, all shall be made alive. Amen? Now, the resurrection means something so deep, loved one. The resurrection means that those who are in Christ, those who are born again, those who are in Christ, you never, no, never, no, never have to fear death. Never. Why? Well, it's according to the scriptures. On the cross, did Jesus taste death? Yes. The Bible says that Jesus tasted death for everyone. Everyone. He experienced what we don't understand. God says death is an enemy, the last enemy. God hates death. You understand? No. Loved one, listen. Jesus tasted death. The word taste there, as you've heard me teach so many times, it means whatever death is, the full depth, the full experience, whatever it is, He tasted it all so you would never, ever have to taste death. And then he did something else. Then Jesus on the cross destroyed him who had the power of death, and that is the devil. The Bible says in Timothy that Jesus Christ, when he died, he abolished death. He rendered death ineffective. In other words, death to the believer is now, death has been unemployed. It can't work in you. Let's put it that way. And that's exactly, hey man, that's a good word. Man, that's exactly what it means. Now someone will say, well, Bill, I just heard you in the beginning of the service. We're going to do a funeral on Tuesday. I said, yeah, someone died. Well, so Bill, we will all die one day. No, I don't hold that at all. I believe according to the scriptures. Now, I want you to turn to John 11 with me, please. John 11. You know that this is a very, very familiar text. John 11. You remember when Jesus, or rather Mary and Martha, when they sent word to Jesus and they said, Lord, the one whom thou lovest is sick. What did Jesus say? Look with me at verse 4. What did Jesus say? He says, oh, when he heard that, Jesus said, well, this sickness is not unto death, but that the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So what did Jesus do? Well, he said he just tarried there a few more days. You know, he didn't go to the home of Mary and Martha. You know, Lazarus is their brother and so forth. And so the disciples, you know, said, well, you know, if Lazarus is sleeping, you know, he's doing pretty good, because when you're sick, you need to sleep. And Jesus finally just looked at him and said, no, listen, he's dead. And so now they're going to make their journey to Bethany. Look at verse 18 with me. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary and Martha to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, boy, she went out and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. And now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. This is tender. She's not accusing Jesus, okay? Lord, if you'd just been here, I know you would have healed him. You'd have done something. And look what she says. But even now, I know, and she really does, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now let's stop right there. The word again is not in the Greek, okay? So Jesus said, he said this, he said, I know your brother will rise. Will rise. So what did Jesus just say? Jesus said, death never has the last word with me. He says, and Martha said to him, well, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection. So that's good what Martha said. She's a good scholar of the Bible. She believed the old covenant. But what she was doing there here is looking at the resurrection as a doctrine. The resurrection is not a doctrine, but a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so she was thinking, well, it's just an event that's going to happen. But Jesus said, oh, no. Resurrection is a present reality. And so Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And listen to this. Whoever lives and believes in me, do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
If you believe in Jesus, Jesus from his own lips, whoever believes in me shall what? In the Greek, that is a double negative. And it means this, shall never, no, never, no, never taste death, everlasting death. Never taste eternal separation from me. No, never, no, never. And then he says, do you, do thou, or that, getting ready to do King James, sorry. Do you believe this? And she said, yea, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world. You know the rest of the story. Mary runs out to them, and they finally go to the tomb, and Jesus, where have you laid him, and so forth, and the people are all weeping. Jesus starts crying and all of that, and said, well, roll away the stone. Said, oh, Lord, he's been in there 4 days. He stinks right now. You can't do that. And what does Jesus do? He said, roll away that stone. And then he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he comes hopping out because he's in his grave clothes. And what does Jesus say to do? Get those grave clothes off of him. Get the smell of death off of him, because he's not dead. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Now, with all that being said, according to the scriptures, according to the living word of God, according to the scriptures, the fifth I am of Christ Jesus. He said, whoever lives and believes in me shall never, no, never die. I want to ask you a question. In the Garden of Eden, we have a couple there that God created, Adam and Eve. They were given only one command in the Garden of Eden, to eat not of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, he told them, ye shall surely die. Well, you know what the devil did? We know the whole story. Now, they ate of that tree, didn't they? You don't know that? They ate of the tree, didn't they?
Yes.
Did they fall over dead the moment they ate it? No, they didn't. Isn't that interesting? What was it, 950 years later, Adam, I think it was, he died. Okay? But no. Did they die? But yes, they died spiritually, didn't they? Now listen, in Adam all die, and again, we are not, boy, I love these flowers. You know, we're not in the Adam's family. Now listen, we who were dead because we were in Adam, but we're no longer in Adam because now we have been made alive. And listen, what does that mean? We have in us right now, this is what the resurrection means, loved one. We have in us right now the life in us that can never, no, never, no, never be defeated because it defeated death. And that means that we will never, no, never die again. Do you understand that? Oh, listen, according to the scriptures, the life that Jesus gives cannot be affected by death. It can't be, to receive Christ, is it to receive his life? Yes, his very, very life, loved one, inside of you right now. There's two things going on, life and death, okay? They're happening in your physical body and my physical body. If you don't believe it, go look in the mirror. They're happening right now. But you also have his life living in you. And when this crummy body that we live in, flesh and blood, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, amen? We have to have a different body. Okay, so his life that's living in you right now, when our body gives way to physical death, guess what? Death instantly must give way to life because it can never, ever, ever affect you. Do you understand that? It can't touch you. To be absent from the body is to be, oh, praise the Lord, loved one. Listen, we have the very life of Christ. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. It says, listen, according to the scriptures, let me just give you a few. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No judgment. Jesus took our judgment on the cross. Amen? And then it goes on and it says, for the law of the Spirit of life, that's the Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, he is the life and the resurrection. Amen? Okay? Has made us free from the law of sin and death. We're free, loved one. How about this one here? In Romans 8:9, according to the scriptures, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells or lives in you. If you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Amen? The Spirit of life is in you right now. And he says here, in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, oh, well, he's not his. You don't belong to Jesus. And if Christ, here it comes, if Christ is in you, if you're born again, if Christ is in you, our body, it's dead because of sin or on account of sin. Why? Because of what Adam did. This crummy old body. Now listen, but the Spirit of life, meaning God's life, because of righteousness, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, did you catch that? If the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead lives in your mortal bodies, his Spirit who dwells in you, he dwells in you right now. See, Jesus really is in us. Do you understand that? Paul the Apostle, Galatians 2:20, according to the scriptures, I have been crucified with Christ. The word is co-crucified. What happened to Jesus legally happened to Paul and all of us. We have all, when Jesus was crucified, we were crucified. When he was raised, we were raised. Amen? When he ascended, we ascended with him. Ephesians 2:6. We went up together with Christ into the heavenlies. Right now, as far as God is concerned, your spiritual position, you're home. Do you understand that? No, man, I say, oh, Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, past tense. It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. In me. We can say the same thing. I don't know. My body stinks, but I'm going to tell you, I know who lives in me. His name is Jesus. Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, we have his life. That means it is impossible for death to defeat you. That's what the resurrection is all about, loved one. You know what's going to happen to our citizenship? Is it in heaven? Yes. And you know what's going to happen when Jesus comes? He's going to transform these lowly bodies, these filthy bodies, these bodies that were dead and horrible, the old flesh, into his glorious body. We're going to be just like our Lord. Listen to me now. The resurrection of our Savior means this. It means those who are in Christ, again, you never have to fear death. Why? According to the Scriptures. John 5:24, Jesus said this, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word, believes in him who sent me, has," that's present tense, has it right now, "everlasting life," and that's the life of Christ, "and shall not come into the judgment," thank God. And it says, "but has already passed out of death into life." Oh, out of death. We don't smell like death. We smell like Jesus, the Bible says. God says the aroma that we put off on this planet, he says, we smell like Jesus. Did you know that? Oh, and I look, oh, God, you're so in good. You're so good. Oh, listen, the resurrection means to those who are not in Christ. You're listening live right now. You in the chapel, you in the overflow. If you're not in Christ, if you're not born again, listen to me. God loves you. I love you. But listen to the words. According to the Scriptures, Jesus said this. He said, listen, if you're not in Christ, you're going to face something. You're going to face what's called the second death. Why? It says, because according to the Scriptures, Jesus said in John 5:28, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming which all in the graves will hear his voice." That means everyone ever born. And it says, and they're going to come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. That doesn't mean you do good to be saved. You're saved by grace. Amen? There's none of us any good. And he says, to the resurrection of life. And those who have done evil, to the resurrection of condemnation. Every person that has ever lived on this planet, one day, well, number one, they're alive right now, someplace. Number two, every person that has ever been born will be resurrected. Their spirits will return to their bodies, no matter where those bodies are. Do you understand? Everyone will be resurrected. And so everyone is living that's ever been born right this moment, eternally, someplace. And those that are not in Christ, not only will you face the second death, you'll face the judgment seat of Christ. For those who will not have Jesus as their Savior, then you will have Jesus as your judge. Every person ever born will one day meet Jesus. The Bible says, and according to the Scriptures, it says in Revelation 20:14, then death, that's our last enemy, whatever death really is. Death, and Hades, Hades is the place of the wicked dead, okay? When a person dies outside of Christ today, they go to Hades, not hell. Hell is in the future. That's Gehenna, okay? So it says, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is hell. That's Gehenna. And anyone not found written, meaning their names in the book of life, they were cast into hell, the lake of fire, the place of torment forever and ever. And then John writes and he says, and this is the second death. Can you imagine being called up? You've already died. You're called up and put into your bodies, your spirit and your body's back. And then all of a sudden, you've already died once, but now you're going to die again. But it's called the second death. And the second death is eternal separation from God, out of heaven, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That is the second death. Someone told me the other day, Bill, all roads lead to God. I said, they sure do. All roads lead to God, because you're going to face him one way or another. But only one road leads to heaven, his name, and it's only through Christ Jesus. How does a person truly escape death, the second death? How does that happen, that eternal separation from God in hell forever and ever and ever? Well, it's according to the scriptures. Let me give it to you. The only way that a person, any person, can be saved is to turn to the one who died for you, died to save you, and the one who loves you. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only name. Acts 4:12, there is no other name given under heaven to men by which they must be saved. Only Jesus can save. No one else. That's according to the scriptures, and the scriptures cannot lie. Amen. According to the scriptures, here's what Jesus said. You want to escape the second death? You want your sins forgiven? You want to be with me forever and ever and ever? You want new life, a new beginning, a new way to live, a new power to energize you to live? If you want that, here's what the scriptures say. According to the scriptures, Jesus said in John 3, he said, you must be born again. You must be. If you're not, he says, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And he goes on to say, if you're not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You know what I find in this life, the tragedy of this life is? I'm older now, and I know that, and you know that as well. And I'm thankful for the adventure I've had in this life. But the tragedy that I see in this life today, it's that it ends too soon. It ends too soon for this generation. And it's because you take so long to finally start living life. And what do you mean by that? I mean that today's generation, the kids, the young people, they grow up and they go, I can't wait to get out of high school. I can't wait to graduate. And I say, well, then what's next? What's next? I remember those days. What's next? Well, I can't wait to get out of college. Oh, what's next? Well, I've got to get my career. Okay, well, you got your career. What's next? Well, maybe I'll find him or she will find whatever, vice versa. Well, what's next? Well, I don't know, maybe a kid. Well, what's next? You're going to pay for it too, but what's next? What's next? Well, my grandchildren. What's next? Well, retire on the beach in Florida? I said, well, what's next? I remember what it's like to be 16. And I remember how quickly it reached my age today. It was instant. It was a flash. What's next? Death. Death. It's certain. It's no respecter of people. It's appointed one unto once for men to die, then cometh the judgment. Death. Oh, listen to me. You're going to meet God. That's what's next. Sometimes death comes to us when we're young, and sometimes when we are old. You know, I tell you, you said, well, Bill, okay, what do I do? Well, there's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to be forgiven. There's only one way to have a new adventure and a new beginning. There's only one way to get out of your sin. There's only one way Christians that today they go out and they live in sin and they do it openly, and you shouldn't. That's wrong. That's sin, amen? Maybe that's you. Maybe you're here. This is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and you haven't been here since Christmas. I don't fault you. I love you. Those in the overflow, those listening live. But listen, this is a day of a new beginning. You need a new beginning if you're living like hell out there. Do you hear me? And if you don't know Christ, it's not about you living in like hell. You will be in hell if you don't turn to him. Now, you say, Bill, that's kind of cruel. No, that's according to the scriptures. It's not according to me. It's the word of the living God. So those in the chapel, those that are listening live, those in the overflow area, those around the world that are listening right now, what do we do? Can I tell you how to get, here's how you do it. According to the scriptures, it says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus as Lord. And if you believe in your heart, not your mind, your heart that God raised him from the dead, here's what God's word said. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes, the heart, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what junk you are in right now, it doesn't matter. Whoever you are, whoever calls, that means praise. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is the word of God. That's how you do it. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and every Christian praying, listen to me, if you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus, if you're playing church, if you're playing Christian, if you're just acting like you know him and you don't, this is your day. I beg you in Christ's name, don't leave this place if you don't know the Lord. Don't leave this place if you're backslidden and you need a new beginning. Right now, you need to ask Christ to be your Lord. As every Christian is praying, if that's you, you say, Bill, how do I do that? Well, just if you'll lift your hand where I can see it and put it right back down. You don't have to come to this altar, but you have to lift your hand high where I can see it. Is there anyone here this morning that God is knocking on your heart and you feel it and you sense it? This may, God bless you. That's right. God bless you. God bless you. I see the hands. You can put those back. God bless you. That's right. That God is moving and he's touching you right now. God bless you. Thank you. I see that, sir. I see it. Anyone say, Bill, that's me too. I want my hand to be joined with those hands. I want to be saved. I want Jesus to be my Lord. God bless you, sister. That's right. I'm quit playing like a Christian. I'm going to be. God bless you, sister. I see that. I'm going to be a Christian today. I'm going to be saved today. I'm going to have a new beginning today. And I'm going to know that I'm saved and I'm going to be forgiven and cleansed no matter what I've done. Last call, if that's you, lift it high and put it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's right. There's that one that you just don't believe that Jesus can save you. You believe your sin is so bad that there's no way he can help you. If that's you, please, I beg you in Jesus' name, would you come to him right now by lifting your hand and being saved? Thank you. God bless you. That's right. Any more before I close in prayer? God bless you. That's right. My last call now. I'm getting ready to pray. Father, you saw so many. That was a sign of their faith to you when they lifted their hands. And maybe you're crying out right now. You're listening live. And you say, Bill, my hand went up, but you didn't see me. And I do see you. Just you pray this prayer with me. And those who lifted your hands, you pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me. Say, Father. Today, Resurrection Sunday, a day of new beginnings. I want a new beginning. I want my sins forgiven. I want the life of Christ in me. So right now, I confess with my mouth, oh Jesus, be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. You promised if I would ask Jesus to be my Lord and believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I am saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know what just happened? Satan was just defeated again and again and again. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. Now listen, those who lifted your hands, please, please, we're going to close in just a minute with a song. Go to the prayer room in the main lobby. There's a booklet they'll give you called Welcome to the Family of God. Please, please pick that up and read it today. And maybe you say, well, Bill, what about me? I'm listening live. You send me your address at info@loveneverfails.com. Give me your address now, and that booklet will be mailed out to you absolutely free of charge first thing in the morning. If you're visiting with us, let's stand to our feet. If you're visiting with us for the very first time, thank you for being here today. You in the overflow room, all of you, thank you so very much. And listen, there's a visitor center over there, and they're taking pictures. They have something set up to where you can take pictures of your family, and not with the Easter Bunny. I killed him, but you know what I'm saying. And if you're, I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that, but if you are, I don't know where I'm at. If you need prayer, the prayer room is in the main lobby as well. Amen. I want you to have a great day. Enjoy the rest of your day. Man, and thank God that every day is Resurrection Sunday to the Christian. Amen. Amen. Jesus is alive forevermore. We're going to close with a song, but I want you to listen to me now.